This podcast brought to you by Hope 103.2.
It's almost 25 past 10 and time to talk healthy living. Well, if you're diabetic or you know someone who is, you might be familiar with the concept of the glycemic index. You sometimes see the low GI label on certain breads or other food products, and it's kind of assumed that low GI foods are healthier. But what does the GI index mean, and is it relevant to everyone or just to those who have a problem with their glucose levels? Jenny Brand-Miller is a professor of human nutrition at the University of Sydney, and she's going to explain it all to us. Hi, Jenny.
Hello, Katrina.
Thanks for your time today.
It's a pleasure.
What does GI actually mean? What's it represent?
All right, GI is just a scale from 0 to 100, and it ranks foods that are carbohydrate-containing foods on the basis of how quickly they raise your blood glucose levels or blood sugar levels after you eat those foods.
Okay. It doesn't always seem to be totally predictable what is high GI or low GI. How can you tell? If you're at the supermarket or whatever.
Right, you can't tell. Even I can't guess the GI of a food. They have to be tested first. They have to be tested in real individuals according to a very standardized methodology.
Okay.
So that's the first message. So don't try to guess them. But there are some generalizations that can help. For example, foods that contain, you know, pasta, and legumes and dairy products and most fruit and vegetables have a low GI.
Okay.
With one big exception, actually, amongst the vegetables, potatoes, most varieties have a high GI, which is the one you want to avoid. But there is one variety that's just been launched of potato that's just been launched that has a low GI and is selling like hotcakes.
Oh, what's that one?
Well, it's called Charisma. And it's sold exclusively by Coles at the moment. And it's just like an ordinary potato. It's not modified genetically or anything like that. It's just been selected from normal varieties, and we found it had a low GI.
Oh, okay. And so you really just have to memorize or learn what is or isn't low GI. You really just need a list and need to get it into your head. Is that how it works?
You don't have to memorize them, and there's a tool that to help people. There's a symbol that helps people choose healthy low GI foods,
okay.
And that symbol is seen on lots of breads at the moment, and on some snack bars, and on some varieties of couscous and pasta. So your listeners should look out for that symbol. It says that the product's not just healthy and low GI. It's telling you that it meets all these criteria that you would want for a healthy diet. So
okay.
It's lower in sodium, it's higher in fiber and things like that.
Okay. Because sometimes if you just pick up, say, a packet of crackers on the shelf, there's nothing on that packet of crackers to tell you whether that is low or high GI.
That's right. And chances are, if it's a typical cracker, it's got a high GI. If it's
okay.
a typical breakfast cereal, it has a high GI. And if it's a typical bread, whether it's brown or white, it has a high GI. There really is a limited proportion of foods amongst those categories that have a low GI. So the list is not very long to remember.
Okay. Pasta was one of the ones that surprised me because I always assumed that pasta would be high GI. I don't know why, because it's a big carb meal, I suppose.
Yes, it can be a big carb meal, but it's also, pasta's part of a Mediterranean diet, and Mediterranean diets have long been associated with lower risks of chronic disease, such as cardiovascular disease. So pasta can be a healthy food as long as it's not overconsumed, and that applies to everything in moderation. So pasta, you can actually tell it's low GI. When you put it in your mouth, the enzymes in your saliva are not breaking it down immediately into its sugars. You can feel the shape. That's why you can cook it for 10 minutes and it maintains those cute little shapes.
Hmm.
Whereas if you put a piece of bread or a cornflake in your mouth, within about 1 or 2 minutes, they'll have dissolved. And that's because the enzymes in your mouth are breaking it down to its sugars.
That's very interesting. So if you don't have any issues with your blood glucose, is it healthier to eat low GI even if you're not diabetic, or does it not make any difference?
Oh, it makes a huge difference. The GI is for everyone.
What are some of the health benefits then of eating lower GI?
Well, because even glucose levels that are within the normal range that are not diagnostic of diabetes are glucose levels that can do harm, for example, to the blood vessels. The body doesn't like even moderately high glucose levels. It does everything it can to bring them down back to their baseline levels. And that means the cells called the beta cells that produce insulin, if you eat lots of high GI foods, those beta cells have to work so hard and they have to work hard and eventually they might kind of become exhausted. And that means you're creeping towards a diagnosis of type 2 diabetes. And even if you don't get to that stage, you're still doing harm to blood vessels and eyes and kidneys and nerves. And even the brain is susceptible to these higher glucose levels. In fact, aging is basically a process by which glucose molecules get stuck to proteins. And our wrinkles on our face and the development...
Well, now we're listening.
Yeah.
Can get rid of wrinkles with low GI. Why didn't you say so?
Well, basically, as we get older, we have these sticky glucose molecules that are sticking to our proteins and slowing everything down. So that's why the GI is for everybody. And there are guidelines by general organisations at the moment that emphasise whole grains, okay? And they're really using whole grains as a euphemism for low GI.
Okay.
They're not the same.
They're not the same, but whole grains tend to be low GI. Is that right?
We'd like it to be true, but it's not true. Lots of whole grains, lots of breakfast cereals and brown breads that claim to be whole grains actually have a high glycemic index. And that's because they can be highly processed. If you look at ordinary wholemeal bread, it's still quite it's finely divided fiber with very finely milled flour. It's easy for the body to digest the starches in wholemeal flour into sugars, and that's why it's got a high GI. So it comes back to the earlier message, you can't guess the GI. You know, lots of health authorities would like you to believe that if you chose a whole grain diet, that would be low GI. It's not true. And I think that a low GI, a healthy low GI diet is more inviting than a brown diet. It doesn't have to be brown.
Okay.
All right? Pasta that's white has a low GI. And as long as it's combined with sources that are low in fat, like tomato sauces and vegetable sauces, sauces based on nuts and a little bit of olive oil, those sorts of pasta dishes are healthy and they're good for you and they won't raise your blood sugar levels as long as you don't eat them in, you know, huge quantities.
Well, I wanted to ask that. So the quantity is relevant as well, the portion size.
Yeah, quantity is always relevant. But I say to people, you're more likely to eat the ideal number of calories that your body needs if you follow a low GI diet, because it's naturally more satiating. Because the carbohydrates are slowly digested and absorbed, it means that your gut is exposed, your gastrointestinal tract is exposed for longer to food before it's absorbed. And that has a nice effect on the brain. The brain can tell, and it produces hormones that tell you you are full and tell you not to eat until you are.
So okay. It helps with controlling your weight if you eat low GI then?
That's right. And a very big study just published, in December last year, I think it was now, in the New England Journal of Medicine, showed that people were much more likely to maintain a good weight after weight loss. They were more likely to maintain that weight loss if they followed a low GI diet.
Interesting. Now, I just got two questions to ask you before I let you go this morning, Jenny. One is, what about alcohol, things like beer, wine and spirits? Now, are they relevant to the whole GI thing or not at all?
They're GI. They can't test the GI. They haven't got any carbohydrate in them that's worth mentioning.
Really? Because I thought alcohol was full of sugar.
No. Even beer contains a little bit of carbohydrate, but not a huge amount.
Well, then why are they marketing low-carb beers? That's interesting.
It's a bit silly, really. I mean, a normal beer may be 4 or 5% carbohydrate, and the low-alcohol beers might be 1 or 2% carbohydrate.
So it's not really relevant then? As a food.
No, because they're all low. Okay. But, you know, it probably reduces their calories, but it's not an important move that people should make if they're trying to lose weight
okay.
or reduce their GI. Where alcohol does come in, Katrina,
yes.
is that we've found in our studies and other people have shown that it reduces the whole glucose response to the meal. So if you have a glass of wine with your meal, the actual whole glycemic response is reduced by maybe a quarter. The same if you have vinegar with the meal. And some people with diabetes have sorted out themselves that having vinegar with the meal was helpful to control their blood sugars.
And lemon juice as well, I've heard.
That's right. Exactly.
And just finally, Jenny, you know, obviously people might like to follow a low GI diet, but then they might find themselves in a situation out to dinner or at a party or something where they want to have a little treat. Can you get away with that in the mix, you know, having a treat now and then?
I think you can if it's about the frequency. I think you can make one day a week in which you enjoy the things that you normally would try to avoid because they're not so healthy.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it makes an easier diet if you allow these little indulgences.
Mm-hmm.
And even in a day-to-day basis, I say to myself and to others that if 90% of your calories have been good, healthy foods, then you can afford to have 10% of your calories as indulgences, especially if you exercise.
All right. Well, thank you, Jenny. We'll have to leave there, but I've learned a lot, and I hope everyone else has too. So thanks for your time today.
Okay, it's a pleasure.
Jenny Brand-Miller. She's Professor of Human Nutrition at the University of Sydney. We've been talking about the glycemic index. You can find out more. There's actually a website, glycemicindex.com, with lots of good info.
This has been a Hope 103.2 podcast. For helpful articles, station news, videos, devotional emails, and more podcasts, visit hope1032.com.au.